The scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John 20:19 through 21. That's John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21, which can be found in the New Testament on page 115 in the Pew Bible. Listen now to God's word today. When it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Here ends the first part of the scripture reading.
Well, good morning, friends. I am so glad to be with you this morning. Glad to be here to watch the send-off of the mission crew to Italy. Delighted to have heard that wonderful Moses. I am just back, along with our contingent of commissioners and other people who were in St. Louis this last week for the General Assembly meeting of the Presbyterian Church. I'm a bit jet-lagged, so if I fall asleep right in the middle of this sermon, just come and shake me a bit, and we will get through it. As we turn to God's word, would you pray with me? Oh God, we come to your word because without the bread of life, we starve. We come to your word because without this well, we die of thirst. We come because left alone in the dark, we stumble and fall. So come to us, living bread. Come, water of life. Come, word of God, and write your word on the flesh of our hearts. Amen. Going on with this story of Jesus, right after the resurrection, this is what happens. Jesus said to them again, "Shalom, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not be doubting, but believing." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? How blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, back in my previous job, I was for 19 years the associate executive in the Presbytery of Kiskaminetus, which is a little presbytery on the western side of the state. So I was there just as the technological revolution began to take hold. And we went out and bought ourselves 5 Tandy computers from the Radio Shack. And then there came something known as the interwebs. And you could dial up into it. Now, I know that none of you are old enough to remember this, but back in those days, if you were dialing up into a bulletin board or the interweb, you dialed up over your telephone line by a modem that gave out this unholy screech when it connected with the other modem, and that was called the handshake. And you had to use your phone line to dial in. Well, there came a time in our presbytery where more than one of us wanted to dial in at the same time, or someone wanted to be on the phone, and you couldn't be on the phone in our office and on dial-up at the same time. So it was time to get ourselves something known as a server. And I was the closest thing to a tech guy as our presbytery was ever going to have. So it was my job to figure out how to get the server up and running. And it turned out you needed to order the server from the small business division, but you could get the very expensive software for really cheap from the nonprofit division if you were a religious organization. And so I ordered them both from Dell, and then I got the wrong server and the wrong software, and they both went back, and I began my correspondence with Jessica. Now, it turned out that I was the very first, they called me a customer. I felt like a victim. I was the very first one in the nonprofit division to be working with the brand new call center that had just opened that week in India. And Jessica, which was the name they had given her, was in her first week of employment, and Jessica had no English. What she had was a script book that they had taught her to read from without understanding any part of it. And Jessica was not equipped in any way, shape, or form to deal with a server from one division and software from the other division that did not match. So then they sent me the server. It was the right server, but it was still the wrong software. And Jessica's book told her that I was supposed to send them both back again, which I didn't want to do. And we were corresponding back and forth. I am at the best of times not known for patience, and any patience I had deserted me. And an email came in from Jessica, which I hoped would solve it all. And I opened it up, and it said, "Dear Aaron Cox Holmes, I am sorry that you are so stupid." Well, there I was thinking that Dell was the stupid one, and then I get this message telling me, no, it's me that's stupid. And immediately, there came a call from Bob. Let's call him Bob the Suit. Now, Bob the Suit was from Austin, Texas, and he was over there, and it was his job to get this call center up and running smoothly, but he was 6 months behind project, and he, at that point, was going to settle for running at all because Bob wanted to go back to Austin, Texas, especially when he saw what had just come out from his division. Well, said Bob the Suit, this is what had happened. Jessica had become so upset and overcome that she had fled her cubicle in tears. And in the cubicle next to her was a guy, I don't know his name, but let's call him Bob too, Cubicle Bob. So Cubicle Bob had been to university, and he did have English, and maybe a crush on Jessica, because he thought that he would try to cheer up Jessica while she was gone by typing on her computer for her to read, "I'm sorry that you're so stupid," But Jessica thought that he was helping her, and she sent it off to me. So, said Bob the Suit, Ms. Cox Holmes had two options. I could cause Cubicle Bob to get fired, or I could cause him to be suspended for 3 days without pay to contemplate his sorry sins, and then they would let him come back to work, and it was up to me to determine the fate of Cubicle Bob. Well, I'm not known for patience, and I testily said to Bob the Suit, what I want is for you to give me the server and the software for free, and I want 3 days off. Well, Bob the Suit didn't have that power, not even the 10% discount, people, nothing. The only power he had in the universe and he conferred upon me was decide what to do with Cubicle Bob. Well, good church people, what would you do? Cubicle Bob got his 3 days off, and I would rather imagine he's now running the call center because it's running much more smoothly if you've been in touch recently. So what I got eventually was a server and the software that matched just in time for them to be obsolete. And I got this message from the universe. I am sorry that you are so stupid. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear this familiar story of these disciples who have run away from the cross, and then they smartly are holed up in the darkest room they can find, which is double and triple locked, because they're afraid that those who came to kill Jesus are going to come after them. But Mary Magdalene, who has seen Jesus, comes and tells them the story. I've seen the Lord. And they stay locked up. They don't even go outside to go for themselves to look and see if that stone has been rolled away and if the tomb is empty, to see if maybe there's that gardener in the garden. They don't do anything. They just stay locked up. And I want to send an email into their locked room and say, I'm sorry, disciples, that you're so stupid. And then I remember that this whole Gospel of Matthew is sent to us. It is sent to us. We are to put ourselves wherever the disciples are. We are to see ourselves, the budding church, and now the 2,000-year-old church. We are to see ourselves in that room. And so we are sending this missive to ourselves. People, we're sorry that we're so stupid. Here we are. Now, I know that it is hard to believe that there we'd be. I really want to believe I'd be out in the garden looking for Jesus. But we are hardwired in our brains to go into that dark room and lock the doors. We are going to have a little fun experiment. Bruce is going to help me. I would like you to turn in your hymnal to number, is it 129, Bruce? 129. And we are going to sing one verse of a great Pentecost hymn, Come, O Spirit, Dwell Among Us. When you find it, I would like you to rise on your feet or rise in your hearts. And we're going to sing this verse, and then we're going to have some fun.
Oh,
Now, still on your feet, put your hymnals down. And did you know that to that tune, Ebenezer, you can sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus? So without looking at the words, when you can't sing it anymore, sit down.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
All right, cut. All right, we've got two standing. Everyone else is sitting. Three standing. Everyone else is sitting. You're sitting. All right. Now, this is your aerobic sermon. If you're able, stand up again. And this time, we're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus to the tune that we know.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Thank you, Bruce. You may be seated. Did you feel it? Did you feel your brain lock up? Everybody but you two, did you feel your brain lock up? And then did you feel that stone roll away and suddenly you could sing it? Jesus, our remarkable Savior, the last thing that he has seen of these disciples is when they turn tail, he sees their backsides running away from him as he is on the cross. And this is the first encounter post-resurrection. They have not left the room upon the testimony of Mary Magdalene. They have stayed put, unbelieving. Now, if you were Jesus, wouldn't you at least want to mention that? Wouldn't you at least want to say something about their unfaithfulness, get just that little bit of thing off your chest? No. Jesus, what is it he tells them? He says it three times. Anyone? Peace be with you. Shalom. Three separate times. And that is his first word. Shalom. Peace. Forgiveness. Hello. Health. Wholeness, a new beginning. Jesus comes in, and that is the first thing that he says is shalom. And then he tells them to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit just as the very first human creatures became human and in the image of God. When God breathed the Ruach, the Spirit, into them, into us. And then he tells them, as the Father has sent me, I send you. I send you out. And then he gives to them and to us the power of forgivingness. He says, whatever sins you forgive, are forgiven them. Whatever sins you retain are retained. But the funny thing about that is Jesus on the cross has looked upon us all running away faithlessly and has said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Jesus gives us the power of forgiveness. Now, friends, that is all that we need to be God's faithful disciples, being receiving the Holy Spirit, being sent. Shalom. And the power of forgiveness, that is what Jesus gives us. When we were newly come to the Lancaster area, we went, my husband and I, for the strangest weekend I've ever had. On Friday night, we went to Manheim Township High School, and we saw them produce a very fine Seussical the Musical. Now, in Seussical, when you get to the second act, it looks like all is lost. But when it comes to the end, Horton hatches the egg, Whoville is saved, and Gertrude McFuzz gets her tail and her man. It all ends well. But then Saturday night, we went down to the Fulton, and we saw Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street, on the same weekend. And in Sweeney Todd, everybody dies. The stage is awash with blood, and it ends. Well, Jesus, coming into this room, us here, what Jesus comes is establishes that it's a Seussical world. Everything ends in the resurrection. Where we are headed is the new heaven and the new earth. When the Kleenex factory goes out of business and locksmiths have nothing to do, and all is well and all is mended, that's where we're headed, to the world of resurrection. So Jesus wants us to practice it now. In fact, what Jesus wants us to be is a fan. How many of you have something that you're a fan of? How many of you remember who won the Super Bowl this year? So I happened to be with a group of pastors on after the playoff had been won, and in that week before the Super Bowl. And we were eating in a dining room, and there was a pub attached to it. And out of the pub staggers this guy, and friends, it's 12:30 in the afternoon. He is as drunk as a skunk. He has a mug of green beer, Eagles green. He is wearing an Eagles jersey, and he comes staggering in, and he tips one way, and they prop him up, and he tips the other way, and then he hands the beer to someone, and he starts to sing, "Fly, Eagles, fly," and the whole room surges to their feet and flies along. Jesus is looking for that kind of fandom of us. And for us to practice, and you can start anywhere, you can start with being aware that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been given everything that you need to be the disciple of Jesus Christ. You can start with being sent. You're going to Italy. You're going to VBS. You're packing a pack. You're singing about Moses. You are sent somewhere. Today and tomorrow, you are sent. You can start with forgiving those that you hold those little nudgy grievances against, the people you'd rather not see in the grocery store, your sister, your brother, your dog. You can start with just little acts of forgivingness and releasing and letting go. Or you can start with the whole kit and caboodle, shalom, where we are now and where we are headed, wellness, wholeness, the mending of creation. Jesus does not come into this room and say, "I am sorry that you are so stupid." Jesus comes and says, "Beloved friends, receive the Holy Spirit. Be in shalom. Enter into forgiveness. I send you." And all you have to do is practice it every moment of your life. Amen.